John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
And here we go, 9 minutes after 8 o'clock on a Friday John Gambling show. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well.
Federal government going to work today?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. What do you know?
I don't know any more than I read in the paper.
Which isn't much.
We've been studying it very carefully, short term. The biggest problem for us will be tourism, believe it or not. People won't be able to get visas and come here. And a lot of things with the federal government funds us, it takes a while before the check gets here anyways.
You don't think that they would shut this thing down for very long?
No, I assume not. You never know.
Everybody's worried about the tourism and what is going on here, but I don't know that that's a major issue for most people.
I don't know.
You
want to take a break?
You want to take a break? Where did Jimmy go? Jimmy, let's take a break right here. The mayor will be right back. All right. Sometimes these things happen, so we'll be right back.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
15 minutes after 8:15, Mayor Michael Bloomberg back here.
Sorry, it's a important call from a child who I swore nothing would keep me from taking the call before she went into some meetings.
Fair enough.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. We were talking about the federal government shutdown. Yeah. We will get into the Kathy Black thing in a second.
Federal government, the security services will continue to work. I assume it won't go on for long in any case. If they don't send out checks one day, they send them out the next, and we don't have cash flow problems long term, you'd have to make up for all that money, but short term you don't. But as I started to say, it's the visas and things like that. Tourists might not be able to come, and if they can't get in to the country and into our city, then they don't have money to spend and that sort of thing. So that's the only thing I really worry about. Whether they'll shut it down tonight, who knows?
I mean, the whole palaver that goes on about this and $40 billion, $50 billion, $60 billion on a $3.8 trillion budget, as you say, if you can't find a couple of – that's 0.8% of the budget. If you can't find 1% – to put a line through, what can you do?
In all fairness, however, they've exempted so many things that it's not 1% of the whole budget, it's 1% of a much smaller pie, so it's a bigger percentage, or it's the same amount of money, but a much bigger percentage.
Exactly. So
they play with the numbers.
All right. The Kathy Black situation, you took responsibility for a mistake, and Dennis Walcott, who we will speak with in just a little while, first class, he's been in the background advising you right from day one, right?
Dennis has been from day one, both Joel Klein and Kathy Black report as the mayor through Dennis, and he's been a part of all of these decisions. Kathy and I had a conversation yesterday, and the story had really become about her rather than the kids, and both of us agreed that's not what we need, and so we're going to look to the future, and Dennis, I think, has all the skills to take us forward and build on what's been done in the last 9+ years. In the end, the schools, let's not forget, the schools are dramatically better than they were before. The number of kids who want to stay in our schools keeps going up. Those families that leave because the schools aren't good, that number is going down. The president and Arne Duncan call us a role model for what you can do with a school system. Is it perfect? Is it where we want to be? Of course not. It never will be. But so many things are going right. And the biggest problem we have is, and that's why I think Dennis really has the skills to help us get through this, we are not going to have any choice in terms of the budget impact on the city in all agencies, and particularly in education, because remember, the big cuts for every agency included Department of Education, but we didn't implement them last November because to cut back in the middle of a school year is just too chaotic and not fair to anybody. So we still have those behind us. But what's happened because the federal government's trying to reduce their expenses and the state government's trying to reduce their expenses, we have roughly a couple billion dollars less money to put in from outside to help with education. We've made up that with or part of it, with our own tax dollars. Fortunately, when the economy was doing well, we put some money aside. But we've used up virtually all of the reserve, all of the roll from one year to another. And, everybody says, well, spend every last dime you have now and God will provide down the road. You can't do that. And I'm particularly concerned about next year. The federal government doesn't look like they're going to be spending more money 12 months from now than they are now. And now they're certainly trying to cut back. Nor does the state government look like they're going to be spending more money. So we're going to have a bigger problem perhaps in 12 months than now. And you just can't say, well, we'll worry about that when it comes. That's just not prudent. So we're going to have fewer teachers. Exactly how many? And
Governor says that's propaganda.
It won't be propaganda to the people who lose their jobs. It's the governor has said publicly and said to me he understands last in, first out is not the right ways to downsize. I think there are some ways we can do it right now, because we're going to downsize and not use last in, first out. But if the state doesn't change the law, it is going to be very damaging. We'll get through it, and we'll keep making the school system better, or trying to. But you don't need to have a nonsensical ways to downsize, and that's what we have now.
All right. I know nobody likes to look back. When decisions have been made, they've been made. We look forward. But I have a question. Do you think that Dennis will be impacted by the fact that four top deputies of the chancellor resigned under Kathy Black?
No. I mean, I think there's normal turnover, and he'll miss those people. They were great contributors. One just went off to run the school system in New Orleans. Keep in mind, when people around the country are looking for top-level education officials, they look to New York to take our people. And that's, while it's annoying, it's a great compliment to the people that we can attract. This is the biggest school system in the country by far. We'll have lots and lots of people. And keep in mind, the core of the people, most of them are still there. I mean, it is true, four have left. But there's four out of an awful lot of people, and the others are top-notch and have been they're the ones that, under the direction of Kathy and before that under the direction of Joel, they're the ones that made the school system, that improved the school system. It provided the guidance to the teachers and to the principals and from central headquarters and to the parents, really, as well. And, I wish those that left us, I wish them well. But we will not have problems in attracting new people. And let me keep saying, because it's true, the vast bulk of the people that provide the service is still here. I mean, Shale and Sharon and people like that are all...
What do you do about replacing Dennis as deputy mayor?
We're going to do with one deputy mayor less, mm-hmm. because we have to... We don't have the budget. You can, and Dennis is not going to take the chancellor's salary, which is higher than a deputy mayor's salary.
He's not.
No, he's going to stay at his current salary level. We'll have one less deputy mayor, and we won't. So we'll save a little bit of money on the fact that he'll take less than what the chancellor did. And keep in mind, the chancellor's, I had cut the chancellor's compensation by roughly a third by getting rid of a housing allowance back in 2002. And this is a further cut. Who knows what will happen after we finish our third term. But we have to save money, and it applies to us in central administration as well as it does all the way down. And this is just a ways we'll split up Dennis's responsibilities, and Dennis will, still an integral part in terms of advice and community outreach. Dennis is still there doing what he's been doing.
The reaction from the Chancellor Black after your meeting yesterday, at least as I read in the newspaper and hear in some of the audio that she was interviewed, it was mutually agreed upon that this change should take place. It seemed to me that she seemed relieved. Is that a fair assumption?
Well, I don't know whether she was relieved. This is a woman who... was in the private sector, gave up an awful lot to try to help the kids, and my respect for her is undiminished. I think that anybody that's willing to put themselves into the public arena and try to help deserves a lot of credit. And, you know, we want to keep attracting people from the private sector who are willing to do that. And it's sad the way it worked out, but she and I agreed. You know, the story was becoming about her as opposed to about how we keep making progress. And she really cares about the kids and wanted to do what's right for them. And, you know, she'll have plenty of other careers, and I wish her well.
The newspapers...
And I want to say thank you to her for her, you know.
The newspapers this morning are talking about the third-termitis that...
That's just... I think that they talked about second-termitis, incidentally, if you don't remember. We did more in our second term than our first term. We will do more in our third term than our second term. Some of the things aren't sexy, but focusing on economic development and focusing on reducing expenses are exactly what we need here to stop this race to fiscal calamity and that you know most governments are on. We're trying to do it rationally. I keep saying this, that the ways to budget is to decide what services you absolutely have to have and make sure you provide those services and then figure out a ways to pay for it rather than saying I've got X amount of money and then look in the other direction. We will keep the streets safe. We'll have to do it with a police department that finds ways to do more with less. We'll keep you safe from fires and have a well-trained, well-equipped, well-led firefighter show up just as quickly, but we're going to have to find ways there to do it more efficiently, and that's true in education and everything else.
I would guess as one gets to the end of whatever term it happens to be, that it would become more difficult to keep people around.
Yeah, that's clearly, you know, the last year you would think that people start saying, well, there isn't going to be another term and I have to feed my family. So if somebody comes along and offers me a job, I will start considering it in ways I wouldn't have before. Same thing is true for people looking for employees. You say, hey, that will be a good argument to them to shake them loose where normally you would not be able to shake them loose. But, you know, we still have 2.75 years. To make a big difference here. And, you know, I'm getting amazed when I sit down with each agency and go through all of the things that we're working on. And, you know, it's hard to get traction. These are things that people don't want to write about because they're not interesting in the sense of why do they do that or golly gee whiz. But they're the things that are going to be... define the city for an awful long time. You know, good ways to look at it is think of something like Central Park. I don't know whether Central Park was built on budget or on time. I just know that the city wouldn't be the city without it, and you can take lots of things.
And you can assume that it was not, either one of those.
Probably not. I know it was, I remember reading it was controversial. Somebody wanted to cut the size of it by a third and all that sort of stuff. You know, we continue to improve transportation, work with the MTA, work with the state. We've got to help the governor get through these tough times. We are, remember, while we're New York City residents, we're also residents of New York State, and he's representing us. And so his success, and the same thing is true in Washington with the president. I think of those issues like immigration and guns. I mean, you know, you say if we could make a little dent in the number of guns in the streets, since RFK and Martin Luther King Jr. were assassinated in, I think it was 86, 400,000 Americans have been killed with handguns. That's more than we lost in World War II. Make a small dent in that. Life expectancy, if you make a small improvement, those are the things that really matter and that will carry the city for a long time.
I'm interested because you are obviously one of the most respected business people and certainly mayors in the country in a very long time. We all make mistakes. I've made hires that have gone bad instantaneously as well, and you never know because you don't intend to make the mistake. And so I'm curious your experience here and as you reflect on the choice of Kathy Black.
She's a phenomenally competent woman.
But where did it derail, do you think? I mean,
it's hard to pin that down, but the real answer here is to say okay, water over the dam, under the bridge, what are we going to do next? And she, if I asked her to do something for the city, I'm sure she'd do it instantly. But we've got to now help Dennis. And focusing on anything else just is so immaterial compared to the importance of what we still have to do, that that's where you want to focus.
No, I completely agree and understand, and that is exactly what we are going to do next here, because Dennis Walcott is going to be joining us in just a very few moments on the telephone. He's taking his grandson to school today, which is
four generations of New York City public schools.
Of the Walcott family. Perfect,
yeah.
Absolutely. And he's basically been in education his entire career, has he not?
Yeah, he's got a master's in education and another one in social work. And he taught for a few years.
Okay. We have him on hold. Let's take care of a little business here at 8:30. By the way, business, if you've got a telephone question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. We'll be right back with the new chancellor of the New York City Schools.
Give John a call now. 800-321-0710. News Talk Radio, 710 WOR.
25 minutes now before 9 o'clock in the morning. Your questions at 800-321-0710. We've got the new appointed chancellor of the New York City Schools, Dennis Walcott, Deputy Mayor Dennis Walcott on the phone. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
All right. Congratulations. Yeah, Mr. Mayor, pick up your headphone there so you
can
hear Dennis.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations on this. You're no newcomer. You pretty much know the ins and outs. You've been hanging around this for how long? 20 years? 25 years?
37 years.
But who's counting?
Yeah, but who's counting?
And who's counting? Good morning, boss.
Good morning, Dennis. Did your grandchild get to school on time this morning?
He did, and on time. You are correct.
It would be very embarrassing if he were late.
Well, the reporters are all out there. We're talking back and forth. I hear the bell, the first warning bell in the background. I said, guys, I got to go. Can't be late.
And did you ask them to ring the bell so you could escape?
No, I politely excused myself, and Justin, my grandson, talked to them for a couple of seconds, and then we went in, and he was on time.
There you go.
I could see the headlines now. Chancellor-to-be's grandson late because he is late. No, not going to happen.
Dennis, there's a lot of speculation, obviously, with anything new as to what might be different. Will there be anything different, or will the educational line be pretty much the same?
The same. I mean, we're going to be pushing hard on the reforms that we've already put in place and driving them down further. We're going to be phasing out those schools that are not performing well and putting in place new schools. I mean, as the mayor firmly believes in, and so do I, we're going to create many options for our parents and our children, opening up new schools over the next several years. So the reforms that have been taking place over the last 9 years will continue during the remainder of this administration.
Have you, because I know you've been the advisor to the mayor throughout all of this, do you have a plan when the budget actually gets implemented with the layoffs? Is there a plan that's on a piece of paper?
I mean, we have regular conversations with our senior team, both at City Hall as well as DOE, as far as various options. And the mayor is very clear that we face a very significant budget shortfall, and he's put in place take programs to eliminate the gap at DOE and other agencies. And, you know, we're looking at a variety of options. So we're going to be having discussions over the next several weeks, and then I'll be sitting down with our senior team at the Department of Education and talking to them. But we put forward basically what the impact will be. And a little later on, I'll be testifying before the city council at their budget hearing. And so we'll be articulating our vision there. But, I mean, we're going to have to make some very tough decisions. But to me, and I know to the mayor definitely, the bottom line is having quality teachers in our classroom and not being locked into solely having someone there who's a senior teacher. We want the most effective teacher before our children. I mean, I want that for my grandson. We want it for all of our children. We want all of our 1.1 million children to have quality teachers to graduate college-ready and work-ready.
Dennis is the man, as they say, going forward. He's got to get a waiver from Albany. We don't expect any problems. Well, let me say we're hopeful that that will happen and happen expeditiously.
What is the reason? I'm curious. Dennis, what's the reason you need a waiver?
Because I don't meet the qualifications by state law. I am not a certified superintendent. Even though I have a permanent teaching license, and I've been in a classroom, I still do not meet the threshold. I mean, we're very close, we feel, but at the same time, we want to be very clear as far as getting a waiver, and so paperwork was submitted yesterday.
But, you know, I think the real story here, John, and you and Dennis were right on, we've got to continue what we're doing. We've been doing the right things for 9 years, and we're going to continue. I can't tell you everything's worked, but most things have worked. School system's dramatically better. Parents vote with their feet. They want to send their kids to New York City public schools, most. And Dennis is going to continue the progress.
Dennis, I know that yesterday at the press conference you mentioned that you were going to be focusing on communications with parents. How might that be different?
Well, I mean, my style is different. Everyone brings their own unique style, and I'll be meeting on a regular basis, and that basically is a continuation of what we've done. I mean, it's a very interesting discussion when we talk about parents, because we, through the mayor, have done a significant amount as far as outreach with the parents. We've created parent coordinators. We've invested a significant amount of money in having parent coordinators in schools. We've created Parent Link, which is a basically communication link to the parents. We've had impact surveys where we go out and survey parents, teachers, and students, and second to the census, it's the largest survey in the country. Last year, I think we got close to 800,000 responses, and that's something we're very proud of. But I'll be out meeting with parents on Monday. I'll be meeting with representatives from the Community Education Council and other parent groups Tuesday. I plan to go to Albany. I was saying a little earlier today, I plan to treat Albany as our sixth borough, going up there on a regular basis, just like the five boroughs of New York City. So I'll be up there and just talking to folks, listening to what they have to say. But at the end of the day, the mayor, myself, and our senior leadership team will be making some tough decisions. But the bottom line is continuing the progress, making sure that we're driving change throughout the city and not letting up on that change.
I also found it very interesting that you made the statement, I think it was to the Daily News editorial board yesterday, that you were going to try and reduce either the contention or the competition between regular public schools and charter schools.
Right. I mean, we're big believers in options, whether they're public schools that are not charter schools, whether they're charter schools, whether they're single-sex schools, whether they're theme schools, whether they're big schools like the high school I graduated from. It was a big school when I graduated. It's a big school now. Or having small schools, parents should have choice, and that's the bottom line. And we want to make sure that parents have more choice, but at the same time, they shouldn't be fighting each other. I'm tired of witnessing the charter versus non-charter. All of them are educating our children, and that's the bottom line. So I'm going to work very hard to make sure we minimize that and making sure there's fair representation from all sides, because the bulk of our students are educated in non-charter schools. But at the same time, I love what charter schools are doing as well, and we have responsibility to create as many options for parents so that way they can choose.
All right. Well, you've got your work cut out for you. I know that everybody is anxious that you succeed. I'm certainly one of them, and I hope that you and I can communicate on a regular basis.
I look forward to it. And I must say, though, with the mayor, as mayor, this mayor, it's going to be very rewarding because he is passionately committed to our children. I mean, I think it's important to remind folks back in 2001 when the mayor was running, he said, I want to control. And that's what this is about. I mean, getting heat, getting yelled at is fine. I mean, that goes with the territory. We want it done respectfully. And we don't want it where in the past, where you didn't know who to go to. You didn't know who to voice your concerns. Now with control by the mayor, and that's what he fought for, you know where to go. And that's where tough decisions have to be made, and I look forward to being a part of the mayor's team and accomplishing that goal.
Okay, now let's get back to work. I'll see you when you get downtown.
I'm going to be late for my meeting with you, boss, so don't hold me.
Well, at least I know you are.
On the first day.
Right.
The first day he's late for the meeting.
See you later. Thanks.
Dennis, congratulations. Good luck to you. Dennis Wolcott here this morning. I think you got a good guy.
Yep.
Let us take a break right here, and we'll come back. We got some folks on the phones to ask some questions. I've got some questions as well. We'll come right back.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike, News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, be listening. Coming up, I got a Catch Me If You Can interview of the day. You can win a pair of tickets to Catch Me If You Can. All you need to do is, when you hear the identification, 212-732-4WOR. I've got to ask you, because we were very involved here at WOR. I was personally in the fight against bringing KSM the trial here to New York. The holder this week made the decision, the reversal. Your reaction? I thought it was the right decision.
I think it's the right decision. I wish they had made the decision earlier, but you don't know what the discussion was or why they postponed the decision. All those decisions are, you know, the earlier you make them, the better, although you don't want people to rush into things either, so it's a fine balance. If we had had to have the trial here, which is up to the federal government, we would have provided security, and hopefully they would have helped cover the expense. But it's a lot easier for us if there is in Guantanamo. And I think given what's going on, you know, people think that these military tribunals are automatically go one direction. And that's not true. There's some democracy there.
It's the fairness that's supposed to be.
Right. It's right. Different than civilian trials. But, you know, in this case, I think it's very appropriate to have it there. The disruption, the chaos, whatever elsewhere is just would not be good for anybody.
All right. We've got some folks on the phones with some questions here. Let's see. We're going to start with Terry. Terry, you're up first with the mayor. Your question. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Love you both.
Thank you.
I volunteer for the mayor, and I would do it again.
Oh, thank you.
But my concern is, in these dangerous times, cutting back on my heroes, the fire department, the police department, shouldn't that be like a really last resort?
Well, Terry, number one, they are heroes. They do the great job. They keep us safe, and we are not going to walk away from that. You can rest assured. I mean, you can never have enough police officers or enough firefighters. You can't put a firehouse on every street and a cop on every corner. My commitment is that the police chief and the the police commissioner and the fire commissioner have to be able to look me in the eye and say, within reasonable bounds, they have enough resources to do the job. Now, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is they have to find ways to spend less money. And so there are some things that we just won't be able to do. For example, we go and we've shortened the length of parades. It's a small thing, but shorting them by 25% cuts some of the overtime. That does not jeopardize safety. And there's a number of those kinds of things that we're trying to do to reduce our expenses or to find ways to bring in extra revenue. If you say, well, let's not touch the services that really are important, and nobody disagrees that FDNY and NYPD are terribly important to us, but so, for example, are schools. So, for example, is the Department of Sanitation. If you cut out the four uniformed services and education and say, well, they're too important to cut, there's nothing left. That's 80% of our budget, and 80% of that is salaries and health and pension benefits. So in the end, it comes down to you either cut the services, or which is not a great alternative, or you find some things which you do which you can no longer afford to do but don't jeopardize the core mission of government, whether it's providing protection or education or sanitation or whatever, and then you find ways to pay for it. And so, you know, we're going to do that. But you can't exempt anybody. And people say, well, exempt the Department of Education. No cuts there. Well, then I've got to come back to police and fire. And you don't want to do that, you've just said, Terry. So it's got to be a little bit of everything, and it's got to be finding those things which you'd like to have, but you don't have to have, so that we can continue with the resources we have doing the things we absolutely have to do.
All right, Terry, thank you very much. Let's see here. Let's go to Viviana. Hello, Viviana. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've got the mayor. Go.
Good morning.
Mine is a congratulations to you, Mayor, on your choice of Chancellor Walcott. For 40 years, Sunset Park had no high school. And then Deputy Mayor Walcott came to our community, and between yourself, Deputy Mayor Walcott, and then Chancellor Klein, you heard the parents' need and the students' need. It is now a successful school for 2 years,
great.
And we are praying for you and the New York City Public Schools to go to the higher heights.
We will do everything we can, and I have every expectation that we will, Vivian. I think the real answer here is to keep improving the schools, but to leave with the expectation in the public's mind and the understanding that you can continue to improve, because hopefully whoever comes after us will take on everything that we've built and make it even better. And the job of education is never going to end. You know, if you have children and you've got them all to the level where they could win a Nobel Prize, Nobel Prize winners keep studying. There's always more you can do when it comes to education, and there's always more you can do with, as we were talking before, in the last call,
right.
Because there's more you can do in terms of reducing fire deaths, traffic deaths, bringing down crime. You know, so far this year we're on a running record low murder rate. It's a long ways to go before the end of the year, but if let's assume you have a record this year, you still have the next year.
You got to
create another
down.
Record. Sure, you know, will you ever get to zero? No. Will you ever get every child ready for a Nobel Prize? No. But there's nothing wrong with having very high objectives, and then when you don't, you know, you should set objectives so high that you can't possibly meet them. Some people will say, "Oh, failure." I say that's exactly what gets you to take things to the higher level.
Did Stu give you any tweets?
He did. There's a couple of tweets. I'll just try to quickly go over some of them. Somebody tweeted us and said, is Disney's growing presence in New York City over the past couple of decades good or bad for the city? It's great.
Disney?
Last week, Disney Cruise Line announced that they will sail 20 cruises from New York City every year. That's another 45,000 additional embarking passengers into New York City. That'll mean roughly, we estimate, $11 million in direct spending. A good thing. It creates jobs. You know, they get on the boats, but a lot of people spend an extra day or two in New York, and that's exactly what we want, and we need more private investment in the city.
I think it's fantastic that the cruise industry has refound New York.
You go back, there was not a lot of press about it, but we worked very hard to find the money to redo the piers, and there are three places that have cruise liners. There's the West Side, which cannot handle the biggest ships.
They're
in this
over
day
in Brooklyn
and, age,
and Red Hook.
Red Hook, and then over in New Jersey in Bayonne. Mm-hmm. And there are some cruise lines that use each of those three. I remember people saying, what are you talking about, Red Hook? Nobody's going to want to get off in Brooklyn. Wrong. Brooklyn is, you know, one of the fastest growing boroughs. That's where a lot of the hot restaurants and hot hotels and people. And Red Hook is going to be, I think, the next Greenwich Village down the road. It's becoming a big artsy community. So, you know, those things are good. Somebody asks what the private sector can do to help in these tough budget times. You know, last week I was up at a
money.
You know, what about giving us a bank? That right. Sounds like a good idea. Well, actually, it did. J.P. Morgan Chase donated a former Washington Mutual Bank up in the Bronx to be the new home of the Bronx Council on the Arts. And Goldman Sachs and Google are helping pay for a new building for the Harlem Children's Zone's charter school in a public housing complex up in Harlem. That I was at 2 days ago with then Chancellor Black and Jeffrey Canada. And, you know, so the private sector really is making a difference. And the last tweet, because I love this one, do I plan to visit Coney Island this summer? Well, yes. Am I going to go in the scream zone? Probably not. I would love to do it, but I don't want to take a place away from someone else. Coney Island is one of those things. Everybody said, oh, you know, people go to Orlando. Nobody would ever go to Coney Island again. Wrong. Last year they had record attendance. It was phenomenal. And Dominic Recchia, the city councilman from Coney Island area, and Marty Markowitz, two big supporters of Coney Island, and they really have helped.
There is a controversy, however, and I'm going to put my two cents in, whether you want to or not. But there's something afoot to change the Cyclone into a more contemporary, the same tracks with different cars. Don't do that.
I'm not going to get
involved
in that.
I love the black and blue.
I am not.
Now,
this afternoon, you know what's happening?
Oh, opening day for the Mets.
Opening day
for the Mets.
Yeah, I will be there. They've off to a 3-3 start. Not great, but not awful. They have a new manager, Terry Collins, a new general manager, Sandy Alderson, who I know. Hopefully, they'll be, you know, both they and the Yankees will give us lots of excitement and controversy. Over the summer, it's good for, you know,
the Mets. I know that the fans are looking forward to the Mets maybe doing a little bit better than they have in the past because they have to, because they got to put some fans in the seats out there, and the winners are what does that.
Well, yes, but let me tell you something. As my daughter, who's an athlete, says, They're always trying. And she says you stay till the end of the game. Now, today I've got to leave because I've got to give a speech in Washington. But normally I try to stay till the end of the game. And she says those people are doing their best. Sometimes it doesn't work. People that volunteer for the city.
This is Georgiana, the horseback rider?
Yes.
All right. She's all right after her fall?
At the moment, yes.
Good. Have yourself a nice weekend.
You too.
All right. I won't catch you next week. I'm not going to be here. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
We're looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Mayor Michael Bloomberg this morning here on the John Gambling Show, along with his brand new school's chancellor as well. And glad to have you with us here on the John Gambling Show. There is.